podcast.hellovanessamedia.com. Subscribe on Rumble, YouTube, follow on podcasting platforms, follow on Twitter, LinkedIn, and TikTok. Hi, my name is Vanessa, and today's video slash podcast are going to be about military spouse, specifically active duty military spouse, unemployment, underemployment, professional licensing updates, as well as the poverty issue in the military on active duty for specifically junior enlisted service members. But this issue actually arises through the ranks for other enlisted, higher, basically all of enlisted potentially, for sure, up through, I'd say, ranks E7, for sure. And, you know, I'm sure there's some of that beyond for other reasons and whatnot, but that's going to be the focus today. So I'm on LinkedIn. For those of you that don't know, if you don't know, you can find me there. I post a lot on, you know, LinkedIn especially, but also Twitter. So check that out if you haven't already. If you're already on LinkedIn, you can just type in my name, easy to find, or Hello Vanessa Media. You can find it there and you can follow along for updates like the one I'm about to tell you about. So I saw another military spouse share a very interesting, I guess I call it infographic, kind of like a chart. It's not really a chart. It's like a, almost looks like artwork. Anyways, I will link to it in the description below. This, if you're on a platform with a description, but basically it has a lot of information that was sourced from Blue Star Families, Flex Jobs, and the Department of Labor. And some of the information includes, but is not limited to, that 63% of employed military spouses report being unemployed or underemployed. 63% of employed military spouses report being underemployed. I believe all of this has to do with active duty military spouses because of the moving around, which I'll get to about that a little bit later. 51% of military spouses make less than $20,000 a year. 55% of military spouses indicate they are underpaid. Research shows military spouses make less than their civilian counterparts that are equivalent to them in different occupations. Only 9% of military spouses financially contributed equally more than their active duty spouse. And no, that's not because their active duty military spouse was making so much money. Spouse unemployment and underemployment are top financial security concerns for, I imagine, the households where all of this is taking place. So just some interesting information there. I've never seen those stats. Those stats are definitely not widely publicized. I've never heard of them. I've been in the military community in some way, shape, or form since I was a little kid, basically. Never, ever, ever, ever heard about that being talked about, being publicized, being put out there in any way, shape, or form. And so I will definitely link that in the description below after I finish filming this video. But California State, which also has a legislative representative that helped propose federal mandate basically for military spouse active duty licensing recognition as they move from state to state to state to state. And that still has not been voted on or passed, is my understanding thus far. But the state of California has passed their own piece of legislation forcing recognition of active duty military spouse licenses for professional licensing purposes. Now, I would like to know more about the details of that legislation. I read over that in some of my curated news that I collect up daily. And over the last number of days, I read that. However, I'm always skeptical with these types of announcements because there's a high likelihood that there is loopholes in that legislation that would make it to where still active duty military spouses and others are similarly positioned, you know, maybe like a service member or whatnot that's trying to relocate, wouldn't be able to have their license recognized because of some ridiculous, arbitrary requirement, red tape, bureaucracy that they still can't cut through, that some governmental body has invented to maintain power and control and keep it monopolized as usual. That's what I see throughout the U.S. Much of these states, they're really into power control, monopolizing power control over professional licenses and who gets the privilege of being able to work and who doesn't. So, I mean, that's like a big thing. Even these, it's called administrative law. And some of the states, one of the states particularly I'm familiar with, and these regulatory bodies have actually criminalized, made it a crime if someone violates one of their rules that they've invented. And these regulatory bodies, most, if not all, have lobbyists at the state level to get whatever they want passed, essentially. So you have a select group of people monopolizing power, making up rules, pushing them through the legislature at the state levels, and then criminalizing it if people don't follow those rules. Literally criminalizing it. Calling people criminals and trying to slap them with crimes if they don't follow arbitrary rules made up by a select group of people that want to continue to monopolize power over who gets to work and who doesn't. That sounds pretty messed up to me. And that's something we need to get away from. Because this issue doesn't just affect active duty military spouses, it affects the entire country. So if you're in a community and you ever ask yourself, why don't we have more of this type of professional or that type of professional? Guaranteed, it's because some group of people decided to make arbitrary rules that prevented more humans from being able to work in their chosen profession. That's why. There are examples of this in so many different professional occupations, I can't even tell you. And it's something I started studying by accident many, many, many years ago at this point, and I've continued to study across the country because this is about power. This is about power. That's what this is about. Who has it and who doesn't? So I'd like to see the California state law, you know, more details I'm curious about as to whether or not this is even a strong enough piece of legislation to really be able to protect the ability of active duty military spouses to actually continue working in their chosen professional occupations or not. A lot of these pieces of legislation or talk about possible legislation oftentimes is just propaganda to try to make certain politicians look good. It is voting season for sure. I'm seeing the political attack ads right now. I mean, there's this one in my area that just keeps playing like on a rerun. I can never seem to hit the mute button fast enough. And so we're in a season where, you know, people are, politicians, certain ones, are extra motivated to politic and to say how great they are and how much they've done and, you know, to try to motivate their voting base. Whereas whether or not they've actually done those things, it's upon us, it's our burden to basically go and research and read the law and figure out, okay, does this actually do anything to help anyone or not? I really, truly hope that it does. I really hope the legislation's solid. It needs to be to help people. Help not just military spouses and their families, but also the communities where these military spouses are located would really benefit from more professionals that are able to do the work that they love to do, not less. So back to military spouses and active duty service members relocating. They're oftentimes called moves or relocations or PCS, permanent change of station. But the reality is, I think it'd be much more accurate to call them displacements. Because for most of these military families, that's exactly what they are. Not speaking for anyone but myself. But I also am just stating observations here that many of these people are being displaced. This is what they're describing. This is what it sounds like to me, is displacement. They're not choosing, you know, where they move, when they move, how they move. They're being displaced, and families are oftentimes being split up. You know, I've seen witnesses countless times where, you know, over 90% of military spouses are women. And so the woman, the wife, the mother will, I've seen this frequently, end up not being with a service member, not because of a military deployment overseas, but because of a displacement, aka PCS, permanent change of station, move, relocation, whatever you want to call it, but displacement, where demands are being made that are not realistic, and due to the best interest of the remaining family members, the service member leaves and the family stays behind for the best interest of the family. Maybe it's because the kids are still in school. Maybe it's because children have medical issues. Maybe it's because the spouse has a job somewhere. Or maybe it's because the toll of the lifestyle is so severe that the spouse has now decided, which I've seen, the wife has decided to go back and live with their family if they have family to go back and live with, which not everyone has that luxury, in order to have the support they need in all ways possible for life, essentially. And, you know, for those that don't do that and that move with their spouse financially, with health, it's such a burden, and there are so many issues that arise because of that, because of the lack of support received in these chronic displacements. It's not like people are routinely getting to pick and choose what military duty station they go to. It's being dictated upon them, and they're going to places and communities where they may be receiving a hostile reception, because people are bigoted and don't want them there because they may not fit a demographic that is welcome in that community. This is quite common. I've experienced this directly, you know, trying to find safe housing and permanent housing and not flushing money down the toilet with XYZ situations, whether it be on-base, off-base rentals or whatnot. And I remember when I was on active duty in the military many moons ago now, being in a room, there's one of the moments that I'll never forget. It was one of the moments where I decided, one of the countless moments that helped me decide and affirm my decision to leave the military. And it was a high-ranking enlisted service member, I believe it was a sergeant major, and they were basically casually, in this way that was very callous, talking about how they essentially did not care that families were being broken apart and damaged and harmed because service members were being relocated against their will while their children were in the middle of a school year, or specifically like their senior year in school or whatnot. And, you know, moving people around in the way that historically has been done, much of the time has just been petty and unnecessary, despite what many people in the public may think, or even some people, who knows, elsewhere. Now, there's been talk that there's going to be a decrease in that recently because of saving money, of course, you know, not because it helps humans, but save money. But to save money, and also because of the retention and recruitment issues in the military, supposedly to help with that, I find it amusing that the issues that have been outstanding for decades and even generations, like professional licensing issues, displacement of service members and their family issues, aka permanent change of station, PCS, and many other issues, all of a sudden now are being looked at as issues that need to be addressed. Whereas in years prior, no one could care less, no one could be bothered, whatever. But now, because of recruitment retention issues, oh, you know, maybe we should look at that. Maybe we should think about that. Yeah. All right, enough about that. I wish you all the best. Bye.
Check out HelloVanessaMedia.com. Check out store.HelloVanessaMedia.com. Subscribe on Rumble, YouTube, follow on podcasting platforms, follow on Twitter, LinkedIn, and TikTok.